This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And you probably remember a few shows back, I was saying I love the movie Best in Show, one of my favorite movies of all time. And I was recommending you see it, and I was telling you all about the stars in it, Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara among them, and just how great a movie it is, an inside look at the dog world, the dog show world. And it's on Netflix now. So there you go. No excuses. Go watch that movie. Totally family friendly and really funny. Okay, so I've got a riddle for you today on Animal Party on the Pet Show. Yes, I do. So there's a list out there. Don't look it up. There's a list out there. 15 signs it's time to leave the party. Now, somewhere on there, on that list, number 5, pets come into play. So that's why I made the riddle of the day. Now, I will tell you, the number one reason to leave the party they list is when the drunk who left the party too drunk to stand up comes back for round 2. So that's the number one reason. Number 2, signs it's time to leave a party. The host says, it's getting late. Number 3, the host or hostess starts cleaning up. Okay. Number 4, there's a girl crying somewhere for no explained reason. All right, so these are all good reasons to leave a party. Number 5 has something to do with pets. Can you guess what it is? Well, I'll tell you before the show's over. All right, so that's our riddle of the day. Now, our product of the day, which I don't usually have, but let's do that. Our product of the day is from IKEA. Right now, in all of Canada, in every IKEA store, they are completely sold out of one item. Oh, I probably should have made this the quiz for today. Well, that's okay. You're already wondering why pets would make you leave a party. So I'll just tell you. The item that is sold out is a stuffed animal, like a little stuffy toy, you know. And it is a reddish sort of orangutan. Yeah. So it's a little stuffed animal that looks like an orangutan. Why did this sell out? Well, it sold out because there's a 7-month-old monkey, that a macaw's monkey, that got rejected, a Japanese monkey, that got rejected by its mom. Sad story. And this species really needs their mom for like muscular development, mental development, all kinds of things. So its mom isn't paying attention to it. In my mind, they should have found it a foster mom, a mother that lost a baby or a mother that's always wanted to be maternal or an older mom, but they didn't do that. Maybe they couldn't do that. I'm not sure why. Any dog even would have been better, but whatever. They didn't do that. What they did instead was they gave it a stuffed animal from one like the one sold in IKEA. And now those stuffed orangutans are selling out and every kid wants one. So it's, but if you look up the footage, if you look up Punch the Monkey, you will see this monkey and it's kind of sad. He's cuddling with the stuffed animal and he's grooming the stuffed animal and he takes it with him everywhere. And I don't know, people, there's got to be a better way. Okay, so on the new side of wildlife, let's talk about relocation. I know I keep mentioning Marineland and Game Farm. And I was telling you I was going to do a big story on all the things that are going wrong there. And I keep postponing because the story keeps getting worse and then more layered and then got shut down. And then over the years, it's just changed so much. And I do report on it from time to time. It's a place of great childhood memories for me, but a very sad place for the animals who live there now, the marine mammals. So I've decided to tell you the relocation stories. Because they make me happy, and they'll make you happy too. So here's one of the first relocation stories coming out of Marineland and Game Farm. So now, Canada has said no more marine animals for entertainment purposes only. However, if an animal can't survive in the wild, it's been rescued because, you know, it was caught in nets and damaged, it's missing a flipper, it was in captivity for years and years, it has no teeth, whatever. There's all kinds of reasons an animal can't be released, then it can stay in an aquarium. So some of the animals at Marineland cannot be released. And there are 2 sea lions. One's called Holly and one's called Maui. And they are 18 years old, which is pretty darn old for a sea lion. They're probably only going to live 25, 30 years. So they're up there. Anyway, they've been relocated together and they're in their own isolation pond for now because they're waiting to meet their new man. That's right. Yes, they are. So years ago, in 2017, another California sea lion, same as Holly and Maui, was found at Spanish Banks, which is an extremely busy beach. I think it was Spanish Banks. It might have been Sunset Beach. Can't remember. I do remember the story, though. I'm pretty sure it was Spanish Banks. Lovely beach. It's in Vancouver, in the city, but kind of on the suburban side, sort of. But it has running paths and bike paths and people and campfires, drum circles. It's not an isolated beach. And this big, giant sea lion was in the middle of all these people, which is really unlike them. And so people were able to approach it. That's not normal. It was emaciated. And the reason was it had been shot in the head and it was missing all kinds of teeth and it still had bullets in its head. It was just a sad, sad sight. People had shot it. So they did all the care they needed and they rescued this lovely animal. And he's permanently blind, but he can eat. He can't be released in the wild, though. So he's been living there by himself all these years. And they're not meant to live by themselves. They're very, very social creatures. So now, this is going to be so exciting, honestly. The Senior Cinco, that's what he's called, the resident sea lion male, is about to meet two lovely ladies. And lucky for him, they're not way younger than him. I mean, he's probably about 25 by now, something like that. And they're 18. But for him, oh my goodness, they are going to be hot tamales. He's going to be so excited about this, Senor Cinco, I'm sure. And they're going to be so social and communicative. And the trainers are all talking about how worried they are about exposing them. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? This is going to work out great. Great. These male animals are designed to live with a whole pod of females. And the two females are already bonded to each other. This is going to be success. Okay, everybody. Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. We're going to a break. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And, okay, so some of the other reasons you're supposed to leave the party. When the police are called, when the neighbors complain. This one I really identify with. Number 15 is when you're the only woman there. I totally agree with that one. I even agree with that with the beach. When I'm in a beach and I notice, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, there's kids, there's women, there's men, but 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, something like that. Up here, the sunset's really late and I like to stay to see the sunset over the water. Around that time, there's less and less women, almost no kids. It starts to be like an all-man beach. And that's fine if I've got my dog. No problem. Used to have this big wolf cross came with me everywhere. Not an issue. But dogless, I will not be the only woman on the beach. I won't. No. Not even if I'm with a man. No, I won't. It's just not safe. It's time to go. So I agree with all that. That's why we need to be able to take our well-trained dogs everywhere if they're on leash. It's for safety. Nobody else is guaranteeing my safety. No way. Only the dog. All right. So I want to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. Can you guess? You got to leave a party when the girl's crying, when the drunk comes back for round two, when the host starts cleaning up and says it's getting late or yawns. But what about the pets? What's the deal with that? And why is that important? Well, I'll tell you after the next break. Okay, so I want to talk about cats and gardens. Because right here, right now, in British Columbia, we are going from, at least in Vancouver, we're going from a little bit below zero, threatening of snow, cold nights, and spring's about to pop. This week, we're going from 0 Celsius, so 32 Fahrenheit, to a nice, more comfortable temperature. Even our coldest will be a few degrees above freezing. And in the day, it'll get to like, it'll be warm. Like 30 degrees and 10 Celsius and things like that. So the trees are budding, the birds have come back, the hummingbirds are here. There's all kinds of signs of spring, and that makes everybody want to garden. So if you're a little behind us, by the time this show airs, you're probably catching up. And if you're in a place where there's gardening all year round, well then, this is good for you all year round. So, are the cats pooping in your gardens? The neighbor's cats? Did you buy stuff that's supposed to keep them away and they don't care? They just rip it out or they just poop next to it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't really work like that. So I have some tips for how to keep your cats or other cats out of your gardens so they won't be pooping in your strawberries because nobody wants that. All right. So the first thing you can do is make them an area they'd prefer. Basically, it's like a sandbox area. It's like a square that all you do is put sand in there. And you cover it so the rain doesn't get at it. And they will reliably go there. They like that. And if they're drawn to your garden and hanging out there, they'll keep the mice and bunnies and other animals, even insects, from bothering it. So that can be a good thing. But if you still keep peeing and pooing in your garden and you don't want them in with your asparagus and your strawberries and the things that, you know, really shouldn't be mixed with cat poo and pee, then here's what you can do. They don't like citrus. They really, really don't like the smell. So all your orange peels and grapefruit peels and all that, instead of composting or giving them to chickens or throwing them out, green binning them, whatever, chop them up, put them in your garden. It'll just make it smell good to you and bad to them. And it fertilizes. So it's a win-win for everybody. So there's one really easy thing you can do. Now, if you don't like that or you don't eat enough of those or you can't find a bag of old orange, because it doesn't have to be good fruit. I mean, you can use spoiled fruit, cut it up and put it in the garden. It doesn't have to be edible. But if you can't find peels or you don't want to, another option is spices. So they also don't like the smell of chili powder, curry powder, paprika. These things will keep them away. Now, if it rains a lot, like in my climate, that's a little hard to keep up with. So I would go with the citrus. I do go with the citrus. The other thing you can do is change the surface. Even just placing sticks vertically in the ground makes it uncomfortable for them to walk in those gardens. But prickly things, even more so. They don't like walking on prickly things. So there's some tips for your garden that'll make it really easy to keep them out. All right, let's go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. You're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and I have a little anecdote. Be careful what you wish for. So I've been training my dogs to find mushrooms and enjoying the search and enjoying the treasures they find. And just, I've been astonished at their ability to smell these yummy chanterelle mushrooms in the forest. And recently, even though it's way past the right season, I thought, you know what, I'll just tell them and see what they find. Be careful what you wish for. I went out into the forest on a frozen day with snow on the ground. I told them, find the mushrooms. And they all took off purposefully, and they kept going purposefully. And this went on for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour and a half, off trail through dense brush. I was totally turned around, even though I had compass and cell phone. I was still quite lost. And they just kept going, and they kept going, and they kept going. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you guys, really? So finally, they arrive at what they must have smelled, the mushroom patch. And they're doing their thing. The one is scooting, and the one is rolling, and they're trying to show me, look, look. And it is the most pathetic. It's a rotten, spoiled, half-frozen, way too old to use patch of mushrooms. It was probably good last month. But I told them, and I wished for it. Be careful what you wish for. So they sent me on this amazing trek, horrible trek, cut my legs, cut my clothes, through brambles and whatnot to find what I don't want to find. So I think it's time I taught them to find morels because it's almost spring. And we got to start looking for something else. I don't want to find the rotten chanterelles anymore. So be careful what you wish for, everybody, when you train your dogs. If you're looking to train your dogs to find things, I've been demonstrating this quite a bit on Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube. There's lots in there. And you start with just a cookie or something your dog likes, like its own toy or a person he likes. And you teach him the concept of find just easily. I'll go over it right now. Just a little Cole's notes on it. So you take the thing he knows, like the ball or the treat or the toy or the person, and you place the dog within sight, very close, and you say, go find Jimmy or go find your ball or go find the treat. Okay, very easy. And if you can do it without a treat, that's even better. So treat is like the easy, easy one. But if you can do it with a ball or a toy or a person and then give him the treat as the reward for finding, you're a couple steps ahead. So start by trying with that. So the dog on leash walks over to the ball, which he can see a few feet in front of him, and picks it up. Good boy. Find the ball. See it? Good boy. Okay, so you're so close now to finding the mushroom or finding the friend or whatever it is, because now he understands find. So then you just place the ball a little bit further and you repeat. A little bit further and you repeat. And once he's just like going right for it and getting it and showing you, yep, I found the ball. I found the ball. Okay. Now you're ready to put the ball behind something where he can't see it, but he sees it being hidden. Okay, find the ball. Great. Now you're ready to do it without him seeing it being hidden. You can arrive somewhere and tell him to find the ball that you hid yesterday and he should find it. So now you can make it even harder. He'll find the ball anywhere. And then you can change the item and make it what you want him to find. And again, you're just praising him for finding it, directing him to finding it, making it super easy, no-brainer. And then harder and harder and harder until he's finding it. And that's how I trained with mushrooms. At first, I was doing it around the house, and then I just started to do it in the bush. I would find the mushroom, tell them, go find the mushrooms. I would find them. And ahead of finding them, I would sort of stop when I saw them and tell them, go find them, go find them, go find them. Staging it, right? So they would actually stumble upon them, and I'd make such a fuss. Good dogs, you're so good. You're so awesome. The mushrooms, you know? Make it so happy that they want to do it again. And again, and again. At first, I tried to treat reward them when they found it, but it backfired a little bit. They started just paying attention to the treats. So I stopped that for about 3 weeks, and now I've gone back to giving them a treat when it's a really good find. Yeah, that's Pavlov's dog thing, right? Rewarding them every time makes your dog lazy. Rewarding them some of the time makes them work really hard. Okay, everybody, so that's been the show for today, but I'd better leave you with the answer. It's a bit complicated. First, I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you that a while back, I was talking about communication, and someone sent in a question saying something like, do dogs know when people are bad or dangerous? And I answered that. But here's some new research. They did these sweat tests with unsuspecting volunteers who had to smell sweaty sweatshirts from people who had been either working out on a treadmill or a bicycle. That was one kind of sweat, or jumping out of an airplane. Inexperienced skydivers trying it for the first time. Different kind of sweat. And in every case, when the humans smelled the sky jump sweatshirt, They got nervous and anxious and excited and a little bit of adrenaline, dilated pupils, things like this. And in every case, when they smelled the workout sweatshirt, none of that happened. So that makes me think, even people, we can do it. We just don't know we can. Okay, so that brings me to the point. 15 reasons to leave a party. Number 5 is when the pets get nervous. Absolutely right. When the pets get nervous, it is time to go. All right, everybody, I guess the pets are getting nervous. It's time to go. An animal party. So for me and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animal.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.